Alan Karpik with Ian Allen. And Ian Allen, for Purdue football fans that know much about Purdue football, know this guy. He was a part of that formidable, really probably the best Purdue offensive line in the last, maybe ever, but certainly in the last 40 years, the line that had several NFL players, including Ian himself, but Matt Light and Gene Murkowski and Rob Turner, Brandon Gorin, and on down the line. This was a very effective group. But today happens to be, he doesn't look like it, but he's 43 today. He's a young man. He's a volleyball dad, and that's a good thing. He's got his shirt on busy living a good life. But Ian, first, welcome to your first, and maybe your first and foremost Arnie's birthday Zoom, but happy birday to you.
Thank you, Alan. That's, appreciate the intro, man. That's awesome.
Well, tell me a little bit, you know, you're very, I did a story on the offensive line for the Forge magazine about a year and a half ago. And obviously I knew you, one of our favorite shoots that we ever did at Golden Black was the limousine shoot with protecting the franchise. It's always good to know the guys you need to protect. And that, of course, being Drew Brees. But tell us a little bit about what you're doing now, living, where you're working. And then we want to get into any special birthday celebrations that you have planned for today.
Yeah, so I'm currently now in Minnesota, and it's funny, right? I'm in the Minneapolis area, the Twin Cities area, and it's funny. I never, just in my life, just throughout, whether it's kids to becoming an adult until now, I know I'm really an adult now.
Yeah,
I just never had Minnesota on the radar, and it's actually a lovely state, man. It's not flat. It's like has a lot of rolling hills and diversity of vegetation and all that kind of stuff. You can kind of get up. I you know what? I'll stop there. I'll just be selling everybody on Minnesota. But I'm here. I'm here, and I'm at Target as a senior merchandise planner, and effectively that means I run. So it's like the coffee, hydration, and kids plastic dinnerware business. So if you went to Target and you were looking for like a coffee travel mug or like a wine tumbler or something like that, or even something like the pillow fort plates and forks and stuff like that, that's the business that I manage. So it's fun. It's super, super busy, but it's fun. It's fun stuff because you know your impact on a daily basis.
Yeah, and I want to ask you about how an offensive lineman gets into that type of detail, but tell me about your birthday. I mean, what is an Ian Allen birthday look like? Has or has it looked like over the last 43 years?
Yeah, so it started off. Birthdays used to start off with barbecues because it's summer, and I was in Jersey and similar to Atlanta, and then they morphed into, especially like during the years of being at Purdue, because there you do during the summer. I'm there doing summer workouts. They translated into. I can tell all the truth now, into basically taking how many shots for your birthday, you know, for your actual years of being alive, to now most of the time the birthdays are real chill, like this evening, and you also break it up over a few days, like this evening since it's during the week, I'll have dinner with my girls, I'll have dinner with my children, and then I think tomorrow there's go to a comedy club thing with a friend of mine. And then just long story short, it's really chill, but I have fun. Yeah. And then I'll, you know, this year I'm not going to have people over. I just needed a moment, but in general, sometimes I have some people over and I make a really good Manhattan. It's like one of the best. I will brag about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're recording
with the real ice cube.
You're my man. So we're recording this in the afternoon, so we could legally be doing this right now. I haven't wanted to. If you could, I think there'll be a day in this world where you'll be able to send me one over the internet, and I would enjoy it. But maybe not today. But that's a good skill to have, my friend. All right, tell me about, you know, you were associated at Purdue with, like I said, we kind of went through the litany, the list of guys, all, and I forgot, and he'll never let me forgive because he'll watch this. I'm sure Chucky Akobe too. That's a dangerous person to forget. But a very eclectic group of guys, you know, all very intelligent, all have gone and done good things. You guys were different, but very, very successful. Got Purdue to Pasadena, which will never be forgotten in Purdue history, but also got to work with a guy that maybe never be forgotten in football history, that being Drew Brees. But tell me about A, the relationships you have, but just that what that working with that group has meant to you over the years, and how that's impacted not only your professional football career, but also your working career.
Yeah. So that was to your point. Yeah. I think you summed it up very well, that it was an eclectic group. Everybody's a different personality on that line. And so I just remember being a part of that, and especially getting into that fifth year where things were just like running like clockwork. It was touching, rewarding, magical. And if I just fast forward to today, we all still have the same love and relationship as we did back then. You know what I mean? You can't talk to everybody every day, but we still, you know, we've got our own group and that kind of stuff like that. And then in terms of like what it meant, like to get to the NFL during professional, it was, and so a large part of what I took from that particular group. And of course, you know, you got to add Coach Hope to that. Obviously, like to your point, I'd say Chucky was probably the energizer. We feed off of Chucky. You kind of feed off of him. And just remembering what that mentality was like, applying that to the NFL was the same approach that I took. And in particular, once I finally got to the Giants and started a career and was actually, you know, was a starter. And then, you know, I think the challenge was at times is how do you maintain that fire when you didn't have that kind of group? That was the hardest thing. And there's a point at which you realize, man, this group is just you're never going to get that. I had it in Philly, but trying to play, it is what it is. Trey Thomas is a hell of a player, and so is John Runyon. One's like 6'9", and Trey Thomas is 6'7". It's like, yeah, I understand being a backup here. I'll do that. But I left him with Arizona, not as a backup. The point I'm getting at is, you know, it was hard to, how do you build that same kind of camaraderie in the league? And then, but I take some of that's there, but across the line, across the entire O-line, depending on what team you're on. But I'd say that same mentality is there, like from a professional standpoint, like at Target. You know, it's so competitive in terms of how we interact with our guests and then try to make sure that we serve up the right products for our guests and stuff like that. To get to that point, to get something on the shelf, there's a ton of work that goes into it. And you almost have many locker room environments per business unit. And I take that mentality of how do you build and foster that type of camaraderie, no matter whatever team that I'm on, whether it's this business unit or if it's at a corporate strategy team or whatever, that camaraderie piece really builds a ton of trust. And that's really what you're trying to get at. It's like, how can I make sure that everyone knows that I have their back and vice versa? Because ultimately some folks are going to make a mistake, or you make a wrong decision, or et cetera. And you have to celebrate those wins as well as they come.
All right, take me back, and I want to ask you about how you got to Purdue. Who recruited you? And I think, were you?
Yeah.
Coletto's group recruited you, correct? And then I'll follow up and you can put your mind ready for your favorite Danny Hope story and or Joe Tiller story, because there, I'm sure, are some classics. Yeah. But go ahead, fire away. How did you get recruited, and where did you first hear about Purdue growing up?
Yeah, so I had saw... Funny enough, I had saw letters coming from Purdue, Northwestern, et cetera, like quite a few Big Ten teams. But I was not really looking to go to the Big Ten coming out of Georgia. And I'm actually surprised I didn't want to go to UGA. UGA was coming hard. Georgia Tech was coming hard. But truth be told, I had committed to Vanderbilt, verbally committed to Vanderbilt. And I think Rod Dohauser was the coach there. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. Mm-hmm. And that was a school that I wanted to go to. And for one reason or another, and I was a good high school student, but not a great standardized test taker, I could never meet the mark that they wanted. And then after I tried the third time, I was like, that's it. I'm gonna find a different school. And so then I started looking, and because what I really liked about Vanderbilt was the black and gold. And so it was like, oh, but it's funny, right? As a kid, that's kind of, you're looking at what does the helmet look like? What's the uniform look like? Does it have a Nike swoosh? Yeah. And then it's all about who's the coach. After that, it's about who's the coach. But yes, it was Coach Coletto. And I can't remember Bob's last name.
Bob Smoo?
He was the special teams coach. Thank you, Bob Morris.
Bob Morris.
Yeah, Bob Morris.
He was the defensive coordinator for a while with him too. But yeah, he did coach.
That's right. That's right. So Bob Morris, he was the one that recruited me for Coletto's recruiting team. And then once I came out there for that official visit in the snow and saw the campus, I just fell in love with the school. The school is like picture perfect, you know, like what you see in the movies. And so I was sold on that. And that's when we had the old, we didn't even have the Jumbotron then. It was that old one where, the pixelated one.
Yeah.
And so that's ultimately like when I chose Purdue, when I went there, the campus felt good. And then I think I met Rocco, Chucky. Who else was on that trip? I think I even met Brandon Gordon on that trip.
Yeah.
There's quite a few guys that I met on that trip that we ended up all going to school together. And just the vibe that I got from those guys. And then plus Adrian Beasley and Noble Jones. They were from Atlanta.
Yeah.
And so we connected pretty quick. And Joe Hagans was from Georgia.
Yeah.
So, you know, once you start kind of talking to people and getting the vibe of the school, you start going, we went out to eat and then, you know, I think we even went to a basketball game or something. I just loved the vibe. And that's what ultimately got me to the school. And Coletto was a good, I thought Coletto was a good person. At that point, I can't really speak to what coaching looks like because I don't know much about what you would coach, but ultimately I felt good about the staff.
Mm-hmm. The position coach after Joe Tiller took over was Danny Hope.
Yeah.
And Danny obviously is, there's some great stories about him being in the trenches with you guys.
Yeah.
He always knew, he was a very, very special from a position coach. And I was amazed in that story I wrote a couple of years ago. Down the line, you guys sing his praises, but also he taught you a lot in terms of how you should do. Tell me, do you have a favorite Danny Hope story, but also just what he meant?
Yeah. So I'll start with what he meant. That's a longer, but plus easy. I mean, all easy, but it's a long one. I'll get that one out of the way. Coach Hope was, and really that whole staff was really committed to us as men. And then Coach Hope, I thought was really cool, was really committed to us being men, growing men, but also honest, right? Because there were some moments there that I was like, man, this is some bullshit, you know, with me. Yeah. Like, but my point is you could be that real with Coach Hope and he wouldn't be offended. He understand where you're coming from. But at the same time, he pushed you just as hard as a man and you have to turn the page. And so Coach Hope was like a father, you know what I mean? He's like a father figure for me and I think for a lot of those guys. But one of the stories, there's a whole bunch, but this one in particular is hard to forget. And so it was one of our Alamo Bowl games, or it was, no, it wasn't Alamo. It's either Alamo or the Outback. I think it's Outback, but we're there getting ready for practice. We're getting ready to practice on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know, we, in the meeting room, we're always passing around the sandbag, just like a 50 pounder, hand it down to get that stab and grab.
Yeah.
And so this particular morning, I think he noticed that none of us wanted anything to do with practice, et cetera. We're not even doing the full extension of the bag, et cetera. And he goes, all right, now we're gonna break that Christmas silence with some good old fashioned violence. I cannot forget that.
Your imitation spot on. You got the grump voice. Yeah. You're good.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's Coach Hope, and I think that right there kind of sums up what his approach was to for us as O-linemen. You know, it's like really focus on the positive. I know y'all don't feel like doing this, but we got to do this. Let's get it crunk. And so anyway, that's the story about
that. I love that one. All right, now birthdays are days of reflection, and you reflect. I think most people on their birthday look back at things that have happened in their life, good and bad. I would guess that one of your better days was the day, even though the game didn't turn out, but the feeling of going to Pasadena and running on the Rose Bowl field. Take me back to that and that experience. Or was it more the getting there, beating Indiana or beating Ohio State or whatever that was? What do you take from that that magical ride in 2000 and all the way to Pasadena in 2001?
Yeah, I think it was two things. I think it was the Big Ten Championship day. That night was like truly special when we won it and then we got the roses. I mean, that was like finally, like we did it. We could have done it the year before, but you know, sometimes things just don't go your way.
Right.
And then that year, it was like the capstone of a career. It was awesome. And then to get to the Rose Bowl coming out, I remember that was the first time in a long time I had jitters. You know what I mean? Because by that, you know, you don't really have that many jitters by year five. But that was the first time I had some jitters. And then I just remember it was an amazing moment to come out of the tunnel, to know that we're here, we're doing it. But I will say it was not so overwhelming that I didn't think we could have won that game. The D line wasn't, you know, they were, I think someone may have gone pro, but they weren't special. So I thought that I thought we did a decent job up front. We could have manhandled them. Oh, we did kind of manhandle them that game, but it was just nice. I remember just even being in California, I'd never spent much time in California. And then when the game was done, I think what I can recall most is like me and Chucky's always thoughtful. If you want to sit down and have a conversation, Chucky's your guy to be deep thought about. And we started reflecting on our careers and then start reflecting on what's it going to take to get to the league. And I remember he was giving me some encouragement about, because at that point I was still like 282, I finally touched 290.
You were still needed to get,
So I was like trying to get the 300s and finally got to the threes finally. But that's what I recall the most is like after even the game was done, we were still, it was a nice ride. It was like a nice moment. And then just having that moment with Chucky to talk about, hey, what's this next step look like for the NFL? And that was fun. That was fun.
Oh, great. Well, I can't take any more of your birthday afternoon. I'd like to, and I'd like to have a Manhattan with you, but have one for me today and enjoy it. We're grateful for your time and your stories as well. I can see isn't hard to see why Ian Allen has been very successful, and I hope many more birthdays for you to come. So thanks again. I look forward also, it's going to be another big football season for Purdue, and that offensive line, I'm sure you'll be watching to see how they progress. They're not quite as experienced as you guys were, but there's high expectations for them as well, and we'll look forward to watching that too. So Ian, thanks again so much, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you, Adam. See you.